Michigan legislators and numerous stakeholders around the state continue to spar over whether to fund an expansion of Medicaid here in Michigan. Supporters of expansion, which would happen, by the way, as part of the Federal Affordable Care Act, claim it's fair to extend coverage to more low-income residents and that it would be good for the economy. Opponents say they fear the future costs of the move, and some resist anything connected with Obamacare. To revisit the case for and against expanding Medicaid here in Michigan, we're joined by two special guests. Republican State Senator Rick Jones represents Eaton County. And you're in the 23rd or 24th.
I can never keep it. 24th district.
24th. Okay, 24th Senate district, including Eaton County. And he opposes funding and expansion. Robin Reynolds supports it. Robin is the executive director of the Ingham Health Plan. Thanks to both of you for joining us today. Before we get further into Medicaid expansion, Robin Reynolds, I'm hoping you'll bear with me for just a minute or so Senator Rick Jones can update us on a couple of things. The legislature is in the middle of a very busy session. The Senate will be getting two bills apparently designed to alter the behavior of Michigan welfare recipients. Those bills would stop cash assistance if welfare recipients' kids miss too much school or if an adult tests positive for drug use. Are you familiar enough with these measures to know whether you're likely to support them?
Absolutely, I will support them. It's very important for children to stay in school. If they don't, they won't succeed in life and they will be a further drain on our economy. I personally have seen children who are food deprived because their parents use their welfare money for drugs and alcohol. And so I fully support drug testing welfare recipients who show signs of drug abuse.
You'll also see a measure that would start levying sales taxes on internet purchases. This would be aimed at online retailers with a physical presence here in Michigan or with an affiliated company here in Michigan. Do you like this idea?
Well, I think it's a fairness issue. A brick-and-mortar store, they have to collect the sales tax. The online don't have to collect it. And although everybody that buys something online does owe that money, you're supposed to fill out a form at the end of the year on your Michigan income tax and pay that 6%. I believe very few do it. So we're talking about a fairness issue, and I'm ready to look at the topic. I really think we need help, though, from the federal government, because there'll be many sales coming in from California that nobody will have any power over.
Let's segue into Medicaid expansion here then. Rick Jones, the state house's proposed budget does not include funding for Medicaid expansion. The issue is still being discussed in the Senate. Does it seem to you the Senate will follow suit and not include funding for Medicaid? Is that what you would expect?
Yes, I think the current proposal does not have support of the senators. I think there's problems with simply giving away things for free, and a great many senators are calling for reforms first. There's an old expression, skin in the game, and I think people would like the users, the customers, to have a little skin in the game. In other words, if you're going to accept this money and go get treatment, perhaps there should be co-pays. Perhaps there should be programs mandating that you stop smoking, that you lose weight if you're extremely obese. Why should the taxpayers pay for your bad behavior?
Let's bring Robin Reynolds into the fold now after we revisit just a couple of key facts in this debate. The Affordable Care Act calls for universal health care coverage. One part of that involves expanding Medicaid. The federal government is offering to cover the costs of that expansion through 2016, which the governor and others say could reduce Michigan's general fund spending on Medicaid by over $200 million a year. After 2016, Michigan would gradually begin to cover some of those costs. In the process, anywhere from a quarter million to over 300,000 low-income people in the state would begin to receive health care coverage. Robin Reynolds, why do you support Medicaid expansion?
I support Medicaid expansion because it's the right thing to do. We have not covered low-income individuals adequately with health benefits. Medicaid in the state and throughout the nation is a very categorical program where if if you're just poor, you don't get medical benefits. It's if you're disabled, yes. If you're a child, yes, which are all great programs, but I think we need to expand it to the people who are the neediest, and also many people included in that are actually working. They just have low-income jobs and don't have health insurance.
Okay, and that's the lion's share of why you support this, is fairness.
Fairness, and it I think it's good for the economy. I think it is good in the long run. We'll save money because people will get health care earlier, and it will prevent chronic disease in the future. It will allow them to have a medical home rather than using the emergency room or higher levels of care. It'll keep people out of the hospital. I think it's a great prevention tool as well.
Senator Rick Jones, why do you oppose Medicaid expansion?
Well, I oppose the current proposal. Many of the folks on this this designation can already get Medicaid. With the new changes in the law, many under the age of 26 will be able to get insurance coverage from their parents. And what's really important, a lot of these folks fall above the 100% federal poverty level. Now, they will be able to go down the exchange and get federally subsidized insurance. The Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, whatever the phrase is you want to call it, many of these folks will already be able to get that coverage. So it makes no sense for us to spend $300 million that we don't have on something that the feds are already providing. Now, there will be some perhaps 200,000 people that don't fall into some of these categories. Those are usually—
That could be over 300,000. I've read various estimates.
I'm talking about the ones that aren't eligible to purchase. So you are, if you're above this 100% poverty level, you're going to be able to go on the exchange and purchase your insurance,
right,
federally subsidized. So those folks already will be able to get coverage. Those are being included in this number. They should not be. Okay, the ones that don't fall into this category are going to be mainly the singles or young couples. And as a state, we can provide a program for them at much less cost than the $300 million we're projected to have to come up with. In fact, we have many counties currently doing health programs, and I think the state could follow that type of program.
Robin Reynolds, do you agree with Senator Jones' arithmetic here?
I know that in my plan, there are 12,000 people, and approximately 70% of those would be under 100% of poverty. And also across the state, in the county health plans, we have about 150,000 people covered, and about 120,000 of those would be eligible for Medicaid under the new rules. But many of the people we serve are actually under 100% of poverty. So they wouldn't be eligible for exchange services. The other issue is, we're waiting to see. Michigan doesn't have an exchange, but the federal exchange will cover people above 100%, but we don't know what those benefits will be yet. We don't know that they will be affordable for individuals. Even with the subsidy, there are some fears that they won't be affordable for some individuals. So that's kind of a wait and see what insurance companies put out on the exchange. And again, there is a subsidy, so that does work for part of the population. But my concern is for the people under 100% of poverty, because they are families, they're individuals, these are people who make $15,000 a year or less. And we serve, with one of our programs, people that make $35,000 a year or less. And those are typically males who don't qualify for anything else. 35% of poverty or less, and you're expected to pay for some type of health insurance. It just can't be done.
Can you respond to that, Senator Jones? I mean,
you know, whenever something is free, it's abused. And I can tell you, as a former jail administrator, we had medical help for all the inmates. And when it was free, they all lined up to see the nurse in the morning and talked about their aches and pains. But when it was $5, simply $5, a lot of them would rather spend it on candy bars than go down and see the nurse. So I think the phrase that's being used around Lansing is true. People need to have a little skin in the game, a little copay, perhaps a mandate that you must stop smoking, must lose weight and stop being obese, and expecting the taxpayers to simply pick up all of your medical costs.
What do you make of that, Robin?
Well, I would say that there's a lot of people obese. There's a lot of smokers in Michigan, and we're paying for that. I mean, we pay for employer-based health insurance through the services we buy. So those people, like myself, has a health benefit that you're paying for that through services that you purchase. And we're not making them quit. We're encouraging them to quit smoking. We're encouraging them to quit drinking. We're encouraging them to lose weight. But they, too, are costing me money because I have to pay for services. My insurance increases. So we're all paying for the unhealthy people. And it's not just poor people that are in that situation. We're all paying for that.
Rick Jones, is there a single change in this Medicaid expansion framework that would get you to support it? Is there any of the recommendations that you've just made here in the last couple of
minutes? There would
minutes?
Have to be major reforms put on the table.
Copays. Simpler would copays alone would not do it?
And drug testing. You know, everybody that goes out to get a job gets drug tested. Even the directors who work for the governor of the state of Michigan get drug tested. I was challenged by a guy who wrote into the local paper, I demand that the senators go out and get drug tested. I went out and paid my $38 and got tested like everybody else. There's no reason why the folks that accept this welfare should not be drug tested. Why are we paying for people to be addicted?
Clearly, Robin Reynolds, there's deep concern from Senator Jones and others about longer-term costs as well. Why does that not concern you?
Well, I think the governor has a good plan for longer-term costs to put money away to help to subsidize some of those longer-term costs and with the money that will be coming in from the federal government. So some of that is mitigated. Sure, it bothers me. I'm a taxpayer. I don't like to see a deficit either, but I also know that there are things we can do, such as tax loopholes, higher taxes on millionaires, look at the entire federal budget. And I mean, we're sending money to other countries for things that we need to take care of people in our own country. I would also like to comment about the drug testing. And I don't think everybody's drug tested who are people who are employed. It's not mandatory that they're drug tested. And if they are drug tested, they need to be able to have substance abuse treatment. We do not fund substance abuse treatment or mental health treatment like we should in this country. Part of this Affordable Care Act and this money that will come in from the federal government and Medicaid expansion will cover substance abuse treatment and mental health treatment. And that's who we see in the emergency room. People don't wake up and go, I think I'm going to use drugs today. They are addicted. They have a medical issue. It's not a moral issue. It is a medical issue. And if we're going to do drug testing, then we need to offer care for these individuals that are addicted to alcohol or other drugs.
Rick Jones, should Michigan invest more in drug abuse treatment, mental health treatment?
Absolutely. I support more mental health treatment, and I support putting people that are addicted into rehab programs. If you're going to take welfare, then you need to be in rehab. But I want to emphasize, that's not the only problem. The problem are there are children at home who are hungry. I have personally seen this. My daughter takes in foster children who have been abused because their parents are addicted to methamphetamine or cocaine or some product out there, and they're not feeding those kids. That's why we have to have all the in-school feeding programs so children aren't starving and so they can learn. So this is more than just dealing with the adults. It's making sure our children in Michigan are safe.
Senator, you've not taken the party line, if you will, at least once recently when you advocated reversal of the new pension tax. You claim that many of your constituents voiced opposition to it. You pointed out that a lot of retired people had spent years planning their retirements, and it wasn't fair to disrupt it like that. I take it, has there been less feedback from the district on Medicaid expansion? What are you hearing from your constituents on Medicaid expansion?
Honestly, very little. I've had some calls, yes, but it's not been overwhelming. And I have had a lot of negative calls against it. Don't sign up for Obamacare. That's what a lot of people think this is simply an expansion of Obamacare. I listen to my district, I listen to my constituents, and I try to make a very careful call. And before we expand, the people that receive this must have some skin in the game.
Robin Reynolds, how would the operations of the Ingham Health Plan change if we were to move forward on Medicaid expansion?
Again, probably 70% of our members would be eligible for Medicaid. So the Ingham Health Plan, their role will certainly change. And we may be changing to offer some type of subsidy to people who can't afford what's on the exchange. Many of the health plans will go away. And that is because the funding that is attached to county health plans will go away, whether we expand Medicaid or not. And that's one of the problems.
The Affordable Care Act still moves forward.
Yes. And the money that has previously supported the health plans does go away. So we're not here as a safety net anymore to cover the people under 100% of poverty. So somebody needs to be.
Okay. Well, we will keep our eyes on this issue at the state capitol. It's in the hands of the Senate here now. We want to thank both of our guests here for coming in today to bat around a very important topic. Republican State Senator Rick Jones represents the 24th Senate District, including Eaton County, and Robin Reynolds is Executive Director of the Ingham Health Plan. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.